I want to read to you a verse of scripture from the book of Proverbs. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4. I'm going to read a couple of verses there, starting in verse 17. I'm thankful for my Christian journey. I'm thankful for those who had lived before me and loved the Lord, served the Lord, and pursued the principles and precepts and teachings of the Lord Jesus and lived a Christian life. I'm thankful for this way. In the book of Isaiah, and I was going to use this as a text, the 30th chapter, the prophet there was talking about the rebellion, their rejection of God's calling to them to do the right thing and live according to His precepts and His desires. And there was a voice from behind that kept saying, "This is the way." I'm thankful for that voice. This is the way. I'm thankful that I have come to learn a few things about the way God works and the way He operates. I tried to instill those things in my children and the children of this church and many of you. I have the goal and objective as a pastor to try to instill in you the right way to live for the Lord and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. This fourth chapter of Proverbs is a chapter that I made my kids memorize. It's a principle that we used at home. It makes crystal clear the contrast between the way of darkness and the way of light. It makes a clear contrast between those that are doing right and those that are doing wrong. It makes a clear contrast between those that are the children of God and those that are the children of the devil. And the encouragement of this chapter, the admonishment in this chapter, is to follow the ways of the righteous. Follow after the ways of the righteous. Those that have come to know the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, because, you know, that's the way Abraham got saved. He got saved by faith. That's clearly spelled out in the book of Galatians, chapter 2 and 3. Bible says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8, I believe it is, Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Even people in the Old Testament, they got saved by putting faith in the coming Messiah. They put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ taking their place in all of those animal sacrifices. When they sinned or they transgressed, they would have to go get an unblemished lamb and they'd bring it before the priest. They'd have to take a knife and cut its throat and the life would spill out on the ground because of their sins. Their sins caused the death of this animal. And all it was pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross for their sins. And they had to believe in that. They had to exercise faith. And they put faith in someone coming who had been promised. You go a little farther down in Galatians chapter 3. And Paul begins to talk about how that he preached to Abraham the gospel of Jesus. And he said, "By thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." And Paul said it wasn't seeds, plural, but seed. And he said that seed was Christ. So God preached to Abraham the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, dying for our sins. He believed in that and developed and experienced and had imputed unto him righteousness. The word just in this passage is synonymous. The path of the just. The path of the just or the righteous, those that have been forgiven, those that have experienced eternal life, those that have been saved, those that, excuse me, those that have exercised faith in the Lord, those that have come to know God and know of His righteousness and know of His ways, know of His salvation. The path of the just is a bright path. It shines bright. There's an understanding that we have when we get saved and when we start following the Lord and learning the things of the Lord, the precepts of the Lord. There are spiritual things that we perceive and we understand. And this understanding or this knowledge, this wisdom, it's priceless. Look in the previous chapter. In the third chapter, he talks about how priceless it was, this knowledge, this understanding. He said it's more valuable, it's worth more than gold. And so verse 14, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than of fine gold. The understanding of spiritual things is priceless. Having this divine wisdom and understanding of God is priceless. I'm thankful for the doctrines of the church. I'm thankful for the doctrines of that are found in the Word of God. We are told about the things of God. We understand some things about how He works and how God operates, and I'm thankful for that understanding. There's a lot of people that are deceived. A lot of people don't understand, and we all need to ponder our path. Not only is it priceless, but we need to ponder what we're doing individually, personally. Look in the last verse of the fourth chapter where it talks about, or verse 26 rather, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. In other words, we need to observe what we believe, what we do, how we live. All those things are very, very important. We're either in our life projecting the things of God or we're projecting the things of the devil. You're either living for God or you're living for the devil. You're either living and showing forth the light of the Lord, or you're showing forth darkness. And we all need to ponder our ways. We need to consider what we're doing. Now, we've had a lot of people that have helped us through the years, that have instructed us, that have shown us the way, that have been a good example. They've been on the path. They've been on this Christian journey for a length of time, and they're good examples for us to follow. We can learn at their feet, and I'm thankful for those who have taught me some things and those that instructed me in the ways of righteousness. And we all need that kind of instruction. So let me begin in verse 17. Keep in mind this fourth chapter, and I want to encourage you parents to sit down with your children. Read this chapter to them over and over and over again, because before long, it's going to be set before them paths of destruction and paths of goodness, paths of righteousness, paths of wickedness. And there's going to be a fork in the road. That's what I was looking for, the word fork. There's going to be a fork in the road one of these days. And you want your children to make the right choice. You want them to choose the things of God rather than the things of the world. Now, in our society today, there's a blending of worldly and Christian. Listen, if you love the world, the love of the Father's not in you. There's not a blending in the Bible of the world and the ways and the heavenly kingdom. The kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light are contrasted. They're different. And they're not to be mingled. There's not a co-mingling of darkness and light. When the light's on, the darkness is gone. And so, let me read verse 17, 18, and 19. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. So there's two ways that are being contrasted here. Jesus did this in the Sermon on the Mount. The preacher of preachers preached the Sermon of Sermons. And on the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 7 of Matthew, if you want to turn there, he talked about a straight gate, a narrow path. He also talked about a broad way that leads to destruction. You're either on the straight path or you're on the broad road. And he talked about entering in at the straight gate. And he said the wide gate, the broad way, it leads to destruction. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way which leadeth to destruction. And many, say many, many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few, everybody say few, few there be that find it. In this chapter, he talks about two gates. He talks about two destinations. He talks about two paths or two ways. He talks about two kinds of travelers. He talks about two kinds of trees in this chapter. The good and the bad. The corrupt and the fruitful. He talks about two builders. One that builds upon the foundation of the rock. And the other builds on the foundation of the sand. He talks about two houses and two kinds of storms coming. Listen, there's a lot of people that say there's two different ways to heaven. And they're lying to you. There's only one way to heaven, and it's Jesus. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way. In this particular passage, he was talking about two kinds of people. One who was religiously saved, and those that were religiously lost. There are those that were teaching that you could get saved through some kind of human achievement. Listen, we don't get saved on what we do. It's by grace. It's through the mercies of God. There were those that were teaching that it was through human achievement that you could accomplish heaven or go to heaven. That's wrong. The way to get to heaven is through a divine achievement. Through what Jesus did and what God did for us. But there's a path. There's a path that we're on. There's a straight gate. There's a narrow way that the people of God are on. Now this is clearly marked out. It's clearly set forth. And I believe it's a way of the just. The word just, go back to Proverbs chapter 4. The way of the just. The way of the just. The path of the just. Verse 16. We're in a good way. I'm thankful for this good way. And we need to be walking in this way. It is disturbing to see children that are raised up in the good way go astray. Come on now. This is good. This is glorious. This is fruitful. This is productive. This is a blessing. It's a blessed way. It's a way of benevolence. We receive benefits and blessings. Remember what David said in the 116th Psalm. What shall I render unto the Lord for all these benefits toward me? What a blessing it is to be on this way. This just way. The word just is synonymously used with righteousness. And we know that we're made righteous, as I said earlier, by faith in Jesus Christ. Even folks of the Old Testament were made righteous by trusting in the gospel, trusting in the coming Messiah, taking their place and being saved. Yes, I believe people of the Old Testament were forgiven of their sins and they were saved by grace. Amen. The way of the just, the path of the just, the journey of the just. Paul said in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 that we're justified by faith. Therefore, being justified by faith. We know that faith has to be exercised. You have to believe with all of your heart. You have to trust in the Lord Jesus. That this aorist verb that's used in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 is a point tense. In other words, Dr. W. E. Vine said it indicates a definite time in which each person upon the exercise of faith becomes justified. A point in time where each person exercises faith and becomes justified. In other words, the aorist verb is having reference to a point in time in your life where you're taken off the path of destruction and put on a path of righteousness. A path that leads to heaven. Saved people are on that path. We're on a journey. It's more than just a one-time event. It becomes a journey. This point in time in our life where we repent of our sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Baptists among us here at this place, we believe that you need a time and a place where the Lord saves you. And I'll just be honest with you. If you can't give us or convey to us a time and a place, a point where you exercise faith and you became justified before God, you look in your Bibles, Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. If there's not a time and a place in your life where you pass from death into life, if you didn't have a born-again experience at some point in your time, because that's what the word just is having reference to, it's having reference to a point of forgiveness. A time where your sins were canceled out. A time when your sins were blotted out. The only way you can be righteous before God is to be declared righteous. We're talking about being declared righteous. Being made righteous based upon the righteous life of Jesus Christ. Isn't that good? Yeah. You'll never be righteous till you're accountable. There first is an accountability that we experience. where we're chargeable for our sins, where we are accountable for our sins. Everybody that's been made just and put on this path that gets brighter, and it is a bright path, isn't it? The characteristics of this path are the ways of brightness. In the book of John, in John chapter 1, verse 1, it talks about how the Word being preached, the Word being made flesh, the Word being Jesus. Look there in John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Listen, we believe that Jesus Christ was God. And it goes on and says, in the beginning, He made all things. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And that life is the light of men. He went on and said, let me just read this. He said, the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. I'm in verse 5. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came to bear witness of what? Bear witness of the light. Look at your King James, capital L. I like that. The light. He is the light of the world. There, the brightness of our salvation is based upon Jesus, because Jesus is the light. Amen. He's the light on the path, the light of the journey. He brightens our way. Listen, if your salvation is not wholly and completely in the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, you're not saved. He is the light. Capital L, and the life. And he says, he is the light that all men through him might believe. You'll never have that light come into your life until you exercise faith. Now let me share something with you. Faith means that you have to let go of everything and cling to Christ. A lot of people talk about just taking and adding Christ to their life. No, you've got to pour yourself out on the ground like water, and you've got to be spilled out upon the dirt and be absorbed in Him. Listen, He must be your whole trust, your all trust, everything. Your whole heart must depend upon Him. Your salvation, your life, everything must be turned to Him, given to Him, surrendered to Him. Yes, I believe in a surrendering kind of faith. And if you're holding the slightest thing back, you won't find Him. You have to trust. The Greek is pisteo, which is having reference to a trust. You've got to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. You've got to look to the Lord. Anyway, this light comes through faith. Listen to me. It's very important to listen to me. I'm not maybe a gifted or skilled orator, but I do know about the word of life. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I try each time I stand before you to preach the word, preach God's holy word. We live in a time where nobody's preaching the word anymore. And it's sad. It's disturbing. I'm not here to tell you a bunch of pleasant stories to make you feel good about yourself. I'm not trying to tell you about how to have a prosperous life and live a good life here. The good life's in heaven. In this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Jesus has overcome the world. We need to be fighting against the world. The world is not your friend. The world is not your friend. The devil is not your friend. These are adversaries of the cross. We fight against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. We fight against these spiritual works of darkness in the world. Listen, I'm glad that there's a righteous way that we can live our lives, and it can be a bright path, and the journey gets brighter as you go along, doesn't it? Just gets brighter and brighter as you live. I'm going to say this again. I said it last week. I'm going to say it again. There is no greater excitement to be lived in this world than to be living for Jesus. You will not find a greater adventure of life than to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a glorious journey. Now I realize you don't see that. And the reason you don't see that is Paul said, the book of Corinthians that the God of this world has blinded your minds lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine in your heart. Listen, I know how I got here. I know why I'm here. And I know where I'm going when I die. The light. He said there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And John was a Baptist. And he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness to the light. That's all I've been trying to do, is bear witness to the light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Listen, you're going to be judged for the degree of light that you've seen. And that's another subject. But you need to move toward the light. You need to move toward the spiritual light. You need to move toward the Lord Jesus Christ if you're lost and in your sins. And if you are saved, you need to stay on the path and not let the world pull you off. Keep moving toward the light. This was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world. The world was made by Him. The world knew Him not. He came into His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power. Everybody say power. Power. Was there power in your conversion? The blood of Jesus has the power to deliver and the power to save, the power to release you from the chains of wickedness and darkness, the power to put you on a path. This is a path of power to move you from one course to another, from one journey to another. Power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of the mind, but or the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, this was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Don't tell me John didn't believe in the deity of Christ and the incarnation. He says, and of His fullness have we received, and grace for grace. Or from one degree of grace to another degree of grace. From one degree of brightness to another degree of brightness. From one degree of glory to another degree of glory. This thing's progressive, isn't it? I mean, we're progressing on a journey. And it gets brighter. And it gets better as you go along. The brightness of this light of Jesus that shines in our hearts helps us with the way we live our lives. And so the characteristics of walking on this path is that you have to be saved. You have to be made righteous. You have to have the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. You have to have a time and a place, a point of beginning, where the light shines in your heart. There in Romans chapter 5, and I quoted this last week, he talks about being justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, wherein we have access unto grace. Wherein we stand, we have access to grace. From one degree of grace to another. So the grace, the way that we live the Christian life, it gets brighter and brighter. Listen, if you are off the path of the righteous, you need to get back on the bright and straight and narrow way. And if there's some reason, and I don't know why there's this reluctancy, we've had several people saved over the last year. I think I counted 12 or 13 people saved last year, but they didn't join the church. Perhaps we're not doing enough as God's people to show them this is the way. You get saved, you come out from among the world, you follow the Lord in baptism, right? You try your very best to serve the Lord and live for the Lord. Let Him have lordship over your life. This is the path. And as you live on that path and as you pursue those high pursuits of Scripture that are before us, it gets brighter and brighter, doesn't it? From one degree of glory to another. So a person on this path is in a state of forgiveness. He's striving to keep the commandments of God. He's no longer in guilt or condemnation before God. He's been set free from all of that. He has the righteousness, the imputed righteousness of Jesus. He has an experience of grace. He has righteousness imputed. He is created anew in Christ. He has true holiness through divine grace and by the presence of the Holy Spirit. But the path is a path of principles, a path of precepts, a path of power. Listen, we will lose our power if we go astray from what the teachings of Jesus are. If we go astray from the doctrines, we lose our power and we get off the path. We have to stay on the path that leads to God. We know the way, don't we? Jesus said in John chapter 14, when he said, the way you know, he was telling his disciples, the way you know. Philip said, we're not sure about the way. We're not sure where the way is. And Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. So the path of the just is a path of faith. You guys believe the just shall live by faith? That also is included, I think, in Galatians chapter 3. All right, the path of the just, it shines brighter. Is your journey getting brighter? Is there more joy than when you first believed? Is it getting brighter as you near the shore? As you get closer to heaven? It does for me. It gets brighter, it gets better. Listen, you can't live a better life than to live for the Lord. And you've got to live for the Lord because you're saved, right? You got to first be saved. There's a lot of people that think they have all the pleasantries of life, but the pleasant life is with the Lord. The good things of life, the joy of life is with the Lord. A lot of people today don't care if they have a Christian home. Having a Christian home is one of the most blessed things you can have in life. It is of more value than gold and silver. Money on Wall Street cannot compare to a godly home. And yet it seems as though people are not concerned about that or desiring that or wanting that. But the path of the just, oh, it gets brighter, doesn't it? Perhaps we've not done a good job showing the world that the path of the just, it is the pillar. It's the very pillar of our society. It's the very pillar of our existence. Without godly people on this earth, the earth would be henceforth good for nothing and cast under the foot of men. It is through the righteousness of men that this world continues to evolve. It is through the righteous living, those that are striving to live righteously. Do you guys believe we ought to strive to live righteous? Sure. That old time holiness that our forefathers used to preach about, it's slipping away from us, so we need to get back on the path. Because the only way we're going to experience special degrees of brightness is if we stay in the precepts of the Prince of Peace. I appreciate your attention this morning. If you're not on the path, if you've never been saved, you need to get saved. That's the best thing that can happen to you. But after you get saved, it just keeps getting better, doesn't it? We read in the last book of Revelation, last chapter of Revelation, all these things being described and explained about the New Jerusalem. And we see in the last chapter, the throne of God and the crystal river flowing from that throne. And then it says, and we shall see His face. And then it says, hey, there's no darkness there. Nothing but light. Like Malachi said, the Son of Righteousness. And Jesus is the Son of Righteousness. S-U-N. The Son of Righteousness. We read that there's no night there. No darkness. Don't have any need for electricity or a candle, it says. You know why? Because the Lamb is the sun thereof. He is the brightness thereof. And we're moving toward a brighter and better day. Those of you that are lost, you need to get saved. Those of you who have been saved and you've not stepped out and joined the church and been baptized, you need to do that. You need to follow the Lord in baptism. You need to get with God's people. Get with people that are on the path that leads to glory. We're on a path that leads to glory. You need to get on that path. And so we're going to have a song and we'll make this a dual invitation. If you have some question about where you're at, if you have some question or concern, let me advise you about this. You talk to the Lord about it, and He'll give you the answer. Amen. If you have some question or concern about it, you pray about it. God will show you, won't He? Amen. You'll hear that voice from behind, like we read in Isaiah 30, verse 21, 22. This is the way. Amen. This is the way. This is the way you need to be living. This is the way you need to be working. This is the way you need to be exercising your faith. This is the way you need to be traveling or journeying on the Christian road. This is the way. I'm glad I'm on the right path. Come join me. Join us on this path and we'll do you good. Let's stand and sing a verse of some song. If you're here today and you need to unite with the Lord's church and be baptized, come forward. You have to be saved. If you have a time and a place, a point in time where you were put on this path and made justified and righteous before God, come, give us your experience. We'll go take you into the waters of baptism. If those of you that are here today and you're starting to stray from the path, get back in the way. Right? Don't drift out of church. Don't stop going to church. Don't stop going to Sunday school. Don't stop studying your Bible. Don't stop praying. Stay in this good way and it'll get brighter and brighter as we journey to the Savior. Let us stand and sing.